$1,000. What is your lucky number guess?
84.
Boom! Chuckalaka! She won!
We got a winner!
The winning is so easy. You could be next. Listen for the cue to call for your shot at $500 cash. KABC.
Los Angeles.
Orange County. A Cumulus station.
KABC News is live and local at 11 o'clock. I'm Jeff Whittle, and a funeral for 22-year-old Stephen Clark, the unarmed black man killed by Sacramento police March 18th, is just getting underway in the state capitol. Correspondent Dan Simon reports the outrage over Clark's death at the hands of officers has not abated.
No question, there will be some form of protest tonight, but where the protesters go and what type of disruption they might attempt to do, we still don't know.
Two wrongful death lawsuits were filed today over the January mudslides that killed at least 21 people in Montecito and Santa Barbara County. One suit named Southern California Edison as a defendant, alleging the utility's negligence and faulty equipment started the massive Thomas Fire, which left the community susceptible to mudslides. Attorney Alex Robertson filed that lawsuit on the behalf of the family of 73-year-old mudslide victim Peter Fleurot.
We know from our investigation that the origin of the fire happened on Onliff Canyon Road in Santa Paula above Steckel Park at approximately 6:29 p.m. on December 4th. An hour later at 7:29 p.m., a transformer exploded about 6 miles away.
The second suit was filed in connection with the deaths of 12-year-old Corey Sawyer Corey and her 25-year-old half-sister Morgan Corey. A judge here in Los Angeles has denied a motion filed by Stormy Daniels attorney Michael Avenatti seeking to depose President Trump and Trump's personal attorney Michael Cohen. Correspondent MJ Lee explains why that motion was denied.
This judge said that this motion was essentially premature, that neither Trump nor essential consultants has had enough time to file a petition to compel arbitration, which is what is expected.
Avenatti calls the judge's denial a procedural issue and plans to refile his request soon. Roseanne's sensational TV comeback has everyone in Hollywood talking.
Variety executive TV editor Deborah Birnbaum says the 18.2 million viewers drawn to the revival of the 90s sitcom came as a surprise to people in the biz.
I don't even think the executives at ABC saw this coming.
She says the show deals with problems faced by average Americans.
The high cost of health insurance and dealing with it, the impacts of drug addiction on a family, all of those issues that families deal with that they're talking about around their living rooms, you know, in their kitchens. That's what the show's going to reflect.
Deborah Birnbaum was a guest on McIntyre in the Morning. I'm Leanne Tweeden, KBC News.
And Russia just announced it will expel U.S. diplomats and close the U.S. consulate in St. Petersburg in retaliation for the U.S. expulsion of 60 Russian diplomats and the closure of their consulate in Seattle. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Clippers, they eclipsed the Suns 111-99 in Phoenix. Lakers tamed the Mavericks 103-93 at Staples. Lonzo Ball left in the fourth quarter with a knee contusion, and Isaiah Thomas will have season-ending hip surgery. However, the Lakers still reportedly interested in re-signing the point guard in the offseason, according to ESPN. LA Kings host the Arizona Coyotes tonight at 7 p.m. right here on KABC. Ducks host the Kings tomorrow night, and today's baseball's opening day. Dodgers host the rival Giants at 4 p.m. Chavez Ravine. Angels visit the A's 1 p.m. in Oakland. That sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. KABC News Time is 11:03 with dependable traffic when you need it most.
As we look at the 710 North at Imperial Highway, finding a crash here now, moved to the right shoulder. But delays from the 105 and South 710 at the 10, working on a crash here as well with the left lane blocked. Westbound side of the 10 Western Avenue, an accident here. Second lane from the left is blocked. That now backing up to Central. Southbound side of the 110 at Hill, you got a little brush fire burning in the center divider. A distraction backed up to the 5 and South 101 from Hollywood Boulevard on into downtown LA. It'll be a busy one. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
KABC SoCal weather, sunny today. Highs near 70 at the coast, upper 70s downtown, 80 in the valley. Sunny, a little warmer tomorrow with mid-80s expected in the valleys. And at 69 in Walnut, 66 in Lake Forest, 67 in Encino. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
You'll already love Stonefire Grills made from scratch entrees. And now they have snacks. Mediterranean chicken patties, chilaquiles verdes, mesquite barbecue meatballs, and so much more. Stonefire Grill, now open in Torrance. Visit stonefiregrill.com/snacks.
KABC News is sponsored by Stonefire Grill.
Places, everyone.
Five, three, and music.
And action!
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number two. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep, of course. You'll beat anyone's advertised price for your mattresses free. We've got tickets this hour to see a special evening with Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons with the Pacific Symphony Orchestra. I'll tell you when to call for that. I was ready to talk about Roseanne. I was going to kick off with this because there's an additional twist to this. Huge ratings for Roseanne, and I do want to take your calls in a minute about that. But I just got to tell you, on the Drudge site, just now, on my Drudge site, the headline, the big breaking news story at the top of Drudge is Pope Francis, there is no hell. That the Pope has decided there is no hell, claims that hell does not exist, and the condemned souls just disappear, which is a denial of the 2,000-year-old teaching of the Catholic Church about the reality of hell and the eternal existence of the soul. An interview between Eugenio Scalfari, a longtime atheist friend, and the Pope was published March 28th in La Repubblica. The relevant section on hell was translated by somebody respected. But all I'm saying is, what are the ramifications of that? Wow. If you're not going to hell, uh-oh. By the way, you just disappear. Like my cousin Harold, he just disappeared. Maybe that's what happened. There's no hell. Harold just went, whoop, out into the vapor. So what, you can react to that if you want. 800-222-5222. I'm just stunned from that. I gotta process that. But the Pope, I gotta make sure that's not an Onion article or a fake story that was picked up, that he said that there is no, that's huge. That is big. Wow. All right. If you want to talk about that, 800-222-5222. I do want to talk about Roseanne, too, because it's bigger than just a television show. It concerns politics in this country. It concerns the divide in this country. It concerns the hatred that people have of each other. I think we used to disagree on politics. Now we want to see each other dead. Barry Diller said that of Hollywood at one point. He said people here aren't competitive. They don't want to see you fail. They want to see you dead. But I laughed. I heard that Doug did the interview with Ms. Birnbaum from, I guess, the Hollywood Reporter, and she said that Hollywood was surprised by Roseanne's huge success. And the reason that they were surprised by Roseanne's huge success, I guess they brought the show back thinking we're out of ideas and we need something to fill a slot here. This may work because Will and Grace came back, and when Will and Grace came back, they did about 15 million, not 18 million, but 15 million. I don't know. The numbers diminished over the next couple of weeks, but it's still, that's a big number. New shows out, you spend about $1 million an episode for half an hour. On cable, they're even spending more. Netflix is throwing big money at the shows that they're doing. But the trend, the way you know that Hollywood is almost tapped out is listen to this list of shows that came back. And this is just a partial list for time. One Day at a Time, Lost in Space, MacGyver, The Love Connection, X-Files, Will and Grace, DuckTales. They brought American Idol back. The $100,000 Pyramid. The A-Team. Bewitched. Prison Break. Fame. Fantasy Island. Fear Factor. Fresh Prince. Full House. Gilmore Girls. So you see the trend here. The trend is, wow, I think we've run out of ideas. So ABC brought it back. And it's interesting when you're a network and you decide to bring a show back or to put a show on the air, realize who you're pitching. When you go into a network to pitch a show, you're pitching somebody who probably went to a pretty elite school and has connections to friends and contacts. So their father's friend knows somebody at ABC and got you the job, whatever. So you're really pitching to folks who don't really have a sense of the heartland, don't have the sense of what they call the flyover states. So you go into a room with these folks who are wearing she upscale stuff, went to upscale schools. Many of them didn't have money issues necessarily. And I don't want to paint with a broad brush because I'm sure there are executives who've progressed up and a lot of them are on merit. But a lot of it's connections, who you know, what you know, being at the right place at the right time, going to the right school, etc. So now they're sitting there and they're listening to pitches for shows. And do you think when somebody comes in and starts pitching about an average American family that's real, with real values, etc., that they even get it, or they relate to it, or they even understand it, or think that it will relate to America? Because it's not the America that they see. It's the not the America that they grew up in. So that's why you see so many shows that are so basically stupid. He lives in an apartment. His in-laws live on one side. His parents live on the other. And you go, what is that now? Because some executive thought, oh, that's cool. And I have a cousin whose in-laws actually move next door. So that makes a whole lot of sense. So a lot of the stuff that's pitched and it gets on the air because the people buying it relate to the story, and they don't relate to stories like Roseanne's. And Roseanne, boy, Roseanne was on a long time ago. Will and Grace was on more recently. When you think about it, Roseanne was on a long, long time ago. Sarah Gilbert, I think, has been the one who's been most active on bringing back the show. And you have, what you have with Roseanne is a working class family that addresses issues in a way that other shows don't do it. Roseanne can come off to a lot of people as abrasive and annoying and whiny and in your face. And she is. But what they do in the show is they address the issues that people are talking about. And they address them in a pretty real way. And my question to you is, does this help in uniting the country at all? In that they're addressing these issues in a way that you can show that you can actually talk it out. You don't have to stab somebody in the neck because you don't agree with them. You can actually talk it out. Here's what Roseanne said, by the way. She was called by the president, and he thanked her and congratulated her on her success. Here's what happened.
Pretty exciting, I'll tell you that much. They said, hold please for the president of the United States of America. And, you know, that was about the most exciting thing ever. And it was, you know, just very, very sweet of him to congratulate us.
Hey, what does he think about the show?
Well, you know, we just kind of had a private conversation, but you know, we talked about a lot of things, and you know, he's just happy for me. I've known him for many years, and he's done a lot of nice things for me over the years, and so it was just a friendly conversation about working and you know, television and ratings.
He does focus a lot on
ratings. He really understands ratings and how they measure things, and that's kind of been an interest of mine too for a long time.
Now, what's interesting about Roseanne, and it cracks me up, I've known her, I haven't seen her in a long, long time. Ran into her once somewhat recently, but didn't really get to talk to her. What, hung with her way back in the Tom Arnold days. The funny thing about Roseanne is you got to be careful with Roseanne, because if the president does something that she doesn't like, she'll say it. She'll get right in his face and say it and talk about it on TV. But if you didn't get to see the show, the reason it got 18.2 million viewers, and it'll be interesting to see if it holds next week, although the second episode that ran after it increased, it went up, which is really, really unusual. The second episode was about the grandson who was cross-dressing. He wanted to wear women's clothes. And what was fascinating about that was John Goodman actually gave him a penknife to defend himself, but didn't make fun of him, didn't judge him, didn't question it, didn't look down on that. So it's interesting how they talked about the president. And what's funny, too, is they did get some pushback, because people who voted for the president and are fans of the president perceived it that they were making fun of the president, when in fact they were having discussion about both Hillary Clinton and Trump, and kind of gave it equal time.
How could you have voted for him, Roseanne? He talked about jobs, Jackie. He said he'd shake things up. I mean, this might come as a complete shock to you, but we almost lost our house the way things are going.
Have you looked at the news? Because now things are worse.
Not on the real news.
Oh, please!
So, as you see, Roseanne goes right at it. She goes right at it. It sounds the way people talk. It's still the sitcoms, so they still have jokes, but they go right to the truth, what people are arguing about, and the divide in families. And they said they're going to talk about Russia, and they're going to talk about healthcare, and they're going to talk about the national anthem protests, and they're going to talk about fake news, and they're going to talk about everything on the show. They were kind of shocked also that it resonated so big. Part of this is you have a built-in audience from people who remember Roseanne, and they had a pretty big number when they were on. Remember that Roseanne thing went, they started doing the Real People shows, blue-collar shows, because it went to Brett Butler, also had a show at that time, and a couple other shows along that route. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to see the mimicking of this show. They're going to try and reproduce this. You're going to see more people who look like Roseanne and John Goodman, Midwest people who are a bit overweight and argue about stuff because this is what they do. Monkey see, monkey do. They're going to try and have success after success after success. But again, the people programming these shows don't live in the heartland. They don't understand it that well, which is why a lot of the shows that you're seeing don't discuss these issues. But I'm wondering, with this success, and it stays successful, if it will help, if it will actually help, because the show's about people agreeing to disagree. But they're not venomous about it, and they can show that they still love each other, and they can still be somewhat respectful to each other. And I don't know. I'm guessing that's what she's trying to attain, or maybe just Roseanne's trying to attain big numbers, big money. If the show does stay at the ratings that it has, or anywhere close, well, you know what? It can probably even go down to 10 million people or 8 million people and it'll stay on the air based on the comparison of other shows that aren't doing that well. Do you know, I couldn't believe this. There are over 500 television shows on right now because of Hulu and Amazon and all the outlets that are there. They're competing with that much television. And it's not like it used to be for a lot of people where it was three networks. Then Fox entered the fray, and they were part-time network. And then HBO and cable. Well, now with Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and networks I don't even know, and online streaming, etc., you have so many choices, which is why the 18 million number was so stunning. And maybe we need this. Maybe we do need to see people arguing just like like in our real houses, you know what I mean, and eye-rolling and disagreements. And not talking and punishing people by withholding sex. Oop, I've talked too much. Anyway, Sarah Gilbert said she was surprised, but they did a smart thing in bringing this one back and guessed right. Again, I didn't think they thought it was going to be this successful. And the guest that Doug had on today also said they were kind of blindsided because the executives don't know how to address the political divide. So this, what it does, it's inclusive. As opposed to shows like the Oscar shows, et cetera, that are on, and then they make a percentage of the country feel alienated and feel not part of it, like they're being laughed at, they're being looked down upon, because they don't have the same values. It's an interesting show. It's an interesting time for it to be on the air. I'd love to, if you want to talk about it, great, 800-222-5222. If you watched it, what do you think? Is it going to make a difference, or is it just another TV show? And people aren't going to care, and they'll talk about the issues the way they talk about the issues. The funny thing is, and I have this discussion with writer friends of mine quite often, you couldn't put All in the Family on the air today because it would be too edgy. It would be, or maybe you can after Roseanne now. It would be too out. It would push the envelope, and you would get complaints to the FCC, I think. But people have tried, and networks have said, nah, it's not the right time to have that kind of discussion. Because remember, Archie and Meathead used to go at it about all the issues, and it wasn't the number one show there because, again, they addressed the issues that Middle America was wrestling with, having trouble with, and they did it as honestly and brutally as possible. And then they always took it to comedy because there was always love in that family, regardless of how much they argued, how much they hated each other's values. They loved each other at the end of the day, which made it a really interesting show and an iconic show. I don't know that there's been a show like that since. And for years, I've heard we'd love to bring back an All in the Family, but we can't in this environment. They won't let it on TV, or too many people will complain. Same problem the stand-ups have when they go to comedy clubs, that they can't push the envelope because they'll offend somebody. Somebody will videotape it, leak it out, put something on the internet out of context and destroy somebody's life. I mean, Seinfeld talks about that all the time. Friends of mine who are comedians who used to tour colleges say, I'm not touring colleges anymore. Because the room, you can have 99 people in the room laughing and one's offended and you're done. And aside from the fact that when you do stand up today, your whole act is out there because everybody's filming it with a cell phone. So what do you think? Can Roseanne, is this a healing show? Is that why the numbers were so big? Because it's inclusive? You're fighting about Hillary, you're fighting about Trump, you're fighting about healthcare, you're fighting about fake news, you're fighting about all the stuff that we talk about every day, and they've done it. They've wrapped it up into a sitcom that resonated with the public in a big way. 800-222-5222, we'll talk about that. I also want to talk about our prison system in California. Remember how they said they're going to let prisoners out? And letting them out, it'll be more humane in prisons. Number one. And number two, our costs, our astronomical costs of running prisons will decline because we can't keep paying the kind of cost to house prisoners that we had been paying prior to. So I will let you know what happens in our prisons, how much it's costing now to house a prisoner in California. You won't believe it. I'll give you a hint. They could go to an Ivy League school and eat well and go to the movies. That's how much it costs to house a prisoner in California. It's the highest of any state, through the roof, and yet it was supposed to go down when we let prisoners out. So what's up with that? All right, talk radio 790 KVC, 800-222-5222 is the phone number, and we'll be back with your calls, 800-222-5222, right after this.
KVC has dependable traffic when you need it the most, sponsored by IKEA. Northbound 710 Imperial Highway, got an accident now clearing out of lanes. It's all off to the right shoulder. South 710 at the 10, clearing another accident also out of lanes. And southbound 5 right at Atlantic, stall in the right lane, backing up traffic here toward the 10. If you're on the eastbound 91 Santa Fe, some police activity being reported. We're checking into that for you. South 57 Yorba Linda, an accident with the left lane blocked, backing up here to Imperial. And if you're on the northbound 405 freeway, right around Main Street roadwork, they're filling some potholes, so that backing up traffic all the way toward Wilmington. Get up to 20% off all Good Morgan bathroom furniture series from March 28th to April 8th. Visit your IKEA store or IKEA.com for details. IKEA, make the dream yours. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. If you want to go see Frankie Valli, special evening with Frankie Valli in Four Seasons with the Pacific Symphony, you should call now, 800-222-5222. We will take the sixth caller, number six, for tickets to go see Frankie Valli, 800-222-5222. I do want to give you an update of that Senate Bill 827 by Representative Wiener up in Sacramento, was voted down 13 to 0. We came out against Bill 827. L.A. is now the largest municipality in California to come out against it, which would have loosened or eliminated restrictions on height, density, parking, and design for residential projects near bus and rail stops. I hated this thing, where they could have gone up 4 to 8 stories on streets near public transit. So if a bus is a half a mile away, they could have done that, and you bought your house because you didn't want that. I love Paul Koretz's comment. Councilman Paul Koretz, who represents much of the West Side, called the bill pure insanity. Yeah, although selling out to the developers the way the city council is not pure insanity, but they saw this as either too egregious, or they wanted to be able to control the density and make all the money from the developers. SB 827 was written by Senator Scott Wiener. I said representative. Billed as a way to fight climate change. Right. Reduce traffic congestion. Right. Take parking spaces away and put density housing where it shouldn't be. And address soaring rents and home prices. It would have been a disaster. I'm glad they voted it down. Now we just need some transparency on the city council as far as what they're deciding to do and how they decide on density projects. And they need to be transparent about the money that they're getting from developers. The LA Times found that about almost 200,000 parcels would have been in the transit-rich areas, and those could have been built up to 45 to 85 feet tall. And this would have been such a giveaway to developers. My gosh, if you have a unit, a building that has 4 units in it, and all of a sudden you get the all's clear, man, what are you going to do with that unit? You're going to build up, and you're going to try and rent it for as much money as you can. So it was voted down, Senate Bill 827, which would have really changed the texture and the landscape here in Los Angeles, has been voted down, and they voted it down 13 to 0. I'm sure they're also looking out for their own interest, but it worked out for our interests too. So congratulations. They did something inadvertently or vertently correct. Coming up, how much does it cost to house prisoners when in the private sector, when you have less customers? Decline in number of customers and workers means, you know, your overhead goes down. Not in our prison systems. Pretty amazing. Wait until you see what's happening there and how much it's going to cost you. We'll discuss that with you next. 800-222-5222 when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this.
KABC News live and local at 11:30. I'm Jeff Whittle, and there were reports this morning of a man with an AK-47 at an apartment complex in Redondo Beach at the address of 108 Vista Del Mar. KABC traffic reporter Rhonda Kramer was on the scene when that man was taken into custody by the LAPD, and there are no reports of any injuries. Now, we're also hearing that there is a man, a worker, who was suffered an electrical injury on the roof of a building in the 21,700 block of West Van Owen Street in Canoga Park. Firefighters are trying to bring that man to safety. He's reportedly in fair condition and is going to be lowered by a fire department aerial ladder. Detectives looking for a burglar who targets homes in Van Nuys while the owners are grieving at a funeral.
LAPD Detective Stephen Cross calls it a double whammy.
Going off to a funeral for a family member and then you come home and then now you find your house has been burglarized.
He says surveillance video caught the same man target two homes earlier this month, just days apart.
How he would know that, both victims did put out in the obituary section of the LA Times that there would be a funeral. They did give the time and place of that funeral, but it obviously does not put the victims home address on there.
The LAPD has tweeted video of the suspect who got away with jewelry from one of the homes. James Rojas, KABC News.
And an Inglewood man faces up to 20 years behind bars when he's sentenced today for smuggling five monitor lizards into the United States, two of which died while they were being shipped.
34-year-old Gail Simpson pleaded guilty in September to a single federal count of smuggling monitor lizards that were shipped from the Philippines. He must now face the scales of justice. The case against Simpson stems from a package intercepted by U.S. Customs and Border Protection last spring. The package, which was labeled speakers and was addressed to Simpson's son, contained five monitor lizards, three spiny-necked water monitor lizards named Doug, Randy, and Leanne, one Samar lizard, and one Palawan lizard. Rob Marinko, KABC News.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. And the Clippers beat Phoenix 111-99 to keep their playoff hopes alive. They're just one game out of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Lakers defeated Dallas 103-93. Brandon Ingram, 13 points, 7 boards in his return from a strained groin muscle. LA Kings host Arizona tonight at 7 p.m. right here on KABC. And then the Ducks host the Kings tomorrow night starting at 6:30 p.m. on KABC. It's baseball's opening day. Dodgers host San Francisco at 4 p.m. while the Angels visit Oakland starting at 1. That sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time is 11:32.
KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. 710 North at Imperial Highway. Earlier crash cleared to the right shoulder, recovering here from the 105. South 710 at the 10, another earlier accident. Everything now on the right shoulder here as well. Southbound side of the 5, Santa Ana Freeway right at about Atlantic. A stalled vehicle just cleared from lanes. Still very busy, however, out of East L.A. and had some police activity along the East 91 at Santa Fe. South 57, Yorba Linda, left lane blocked with a crash. That backing up toward Brea Canyon. And North 405 at Maine. You've got road work. They're filling some potholes and backing up to the 710. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Here's your 790 KABC market check, and stocks soaring here in late morning trading. The Dow is up 374 points. Now, the S&P 500 is positive by 43 points, and NASDAQ up 147 points. It's positive by more than 2% for the day. KABC, SoCal weather, sunny and mild today. Highs near 70 at the beaches, upper 70s downtown, 80 expected in the valleys, and it's 70 now in Port Orange, 69 in Bellflower, 69 in Orange. KABC weather, sponsored by Scientology Network. The only thing more interesting than what you've heard is what you haven't. Curious? Watch Scientology Network on DirecTV Channel 320 or go to Scientology.tv. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Operators are standing by.
At 800-222-5222.
Go ahead. Say it.
790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number two. Philip in Mission Viejo, congratulations, going to see Frankie Valli. I think I got one more day of Frankie Valli tickets, and I got to tell you something. The lines blow out for this guy. It's pretty stunning how impressive that is. But I guess he's got all of those hits, you know. And I think one of the seasons is still with him. One of the original seasons, maybe fall or spring or winter. Coming up, I'm going to talk about the fact that the president wants to appoint his own personal doctor to head the Veterans Administration. And a lot of vets are pushing back, vet organizations are pushing back. But remember, he wanted to make his pilot the head of the FAA, his personal pilot. He wants his doctor to be the head of the Veterans Administration. And I understand he wanted his proctologist to have oversight over mining and any, if they ever do any boring under any city, he wants him to head that. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, so we're letting guys out of prison. Prison overcrowding, correct? Proposition 47, which reduced a lot of felonies to misdemeanors. You would think they're letting people out of prison. They're reducing the prison population. Well, the cost of housing prisoners should go down, right? It costs now in California to house a prisoner. Are you sitting down? Here we go. $75,560 to house a prisoner for a year. Every article, of course, says it's more than Harvard. Governor Brown, his spending plan for the fiscal year, which starts July 1st, includes $11.4 billion for the Corrections Department, while also predicting that there will probably be 11,500 fewer inmates in 4 years because voters approved the early release of inmates. So that's a huge increase. Since 2015, California's per inmate cost surged by about 13% or $10,000. So it's going up in a short period of time, even though we're letting people out. And we just raised the gas tax because we claim to be out of cash. How is this good for us? I mean, we're being punished. We're actually being punished. Prop 47 now, so here's what potentially is happening. We're letting more and more prisoners out, right? Because we were promised that they were not people who would offend. They were for minor offenses, which we found out was not necessarily correct. So now the prison cost is going up per prisoner. We were supposed to go down because the population's getting smaller, but now because the crime rate is going up, more prisoners will go back in, but at a higher number. So in essence, everything keeps going up, no matter if the population's going down. And now with them going back in, even with realignment policies, I don't know what are the costs going to go? 80,000? 100,000? It's pretty nuts that this is happening in Texas. We pay twice of what they pay in Texas to incarcerate an inmate. And I guess it has to be because of the unions and the power that these unions have. It's insane thinking of the incarceration rates we're going to have if the crime rate keeps going up. And you're talking about $75,000 per inmate. What is this going to look like in another 5 years? And we were falsely, again, I don't know how they can keep, they did it with a bullet train. They promise you stuff and then they don't deliver. And it's been totally misrepresented and yet there's no repercussions. The reformers promised what they called a prison dividend from savings related to all these changes, letting prisoners out. Instead, because there's this uptick in many crimes, which they promised us wouldn't happen, you're going to have an influx of new inmates that are going to cost even more to house. And, of course, Jerry Brown will be long gone before the bullet train or before these people start coming back into prison. But there's a new report that just came out by the Vera Institute for Justice that said that despite a decline in both the prison population and the number of prison staff, California's prison spending rose $560 million between 2010 and 2015. And it is because primarily salaries, pension, and other employee and retiree benefits continue to increase. It's nuts. 13 states reduced prison populations since 2010. They also cut their prison spending by $1.6 billion. 7 states increased their population, but managed to decrease their prison spending. In California, however, we managed to do the unthinkable. Drop the prison population, drop the number of people working, and have the cost go through the roof. So I don't know how you control this. I don't know what the fix is, what the remedy is, but we've been had again. We've been punished. We've been lied to. As far as the releases, we've been lied to. And as far as the spending, we were lied to. So congratulations. At least we have the pride in knowing when it comes to prison costs, we are clearly number one. Thank you. Thank you very much. I can't wait till all these guys get arrested again and they go back in at that price and they got to raise taxes to pay for the new prisoners, the recidivists who went back, but at a higher rate. When they arrest people, they should say, now, you know what, you used to be in at 64,000. Now you're in at 75,000, so enjoy it. All right, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming up, I do want to talk about the doctor who the president nominated to be the head of the VA. I'd like to spend a moment on that and what you think about his background. And the fact that he's never really managed anybody. I mean, he's a doctor who is the White House doctor for the last three presidents, but he has never managed a business as corrupt and out of control as the VA. We'll get your take on that. 800-222-5222 when Peter Tilden at 10 continues after this.
Down.
The traffic when you need it the most. Eastbound side of the 101 right at Fallbrook. Been working on an accident here where the carpool lane is taken away. And South 57 right at Yorba Linda. Another accident here with the left lane blocked. That now backing up toward Brea Canyon. And northbound 405 right at Wilmington. Another crash here with lanes blocked a short time ago. That's now slow from the 710. And eastbound side of the 10 right at town, working on a crash right shoulder. As for the 210 west from the 57 into Pasadena, a lot of volume here. Stop and go very heavy at times. I'm Rhonda Kramer, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, the theme song from an amazing show. Kind of a cult show. Was it bigger, Steve, than a cult show? It's The Prisoner with Patrick McGoohan. Great, great, great show. Strange show, odd show, but really, really cool. And thank you for that, Steve. 800-222-5222. So the president wants his doctor to be the head of the Veterans Administration and replace Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson would replace Mr. Shulkin, who is really ticked off that he's out. As a matter of fact, he wrote a scathing, scathing editorial, and it goes like this. Unfortunately, the department has become entangled in a brutal power struggle with some political appointees choosing to promote their agendas instead of what's best for veterans. These individuals who seek to privatize veterans' health care as an alternative to government-run VA care unfortunately failed to engage in realistic plans regarding who will care for the more than 9 million veterans who rely on the department for life-sustaining care, which is, it's interesting because he's bitter. I guess we knew it was coming. I said on the air the other day that he was dead man walking, which is, it's kind of stunning that he's out, but he's pretty bitter. On Twitter, the president announced the termination of Shulkin and his replacement. I feel actually bad for the replacement, for the doctor, because I think he's going to have a tough time, going through the confirmation process because the VA is such a mess. There's so much corruption there. Also, if you've never run or managed anything, here's the deal. Ready for this? So if you're going into the job interview, just in the private sector. So have you ever managed people? No, not really. What have you done? Well, you know, I've done cough. I check for polyps. I was in the military. I was a combat physician. All right. So you've never managed anybody. No. Well, how many people are there to manage? 377,805 people. Have you ever worked with any kind of budget in the millions? Well, no, not really. What's the budget here? $200 billion. So how do you get through that confirmation? And again, I think it's going to put him in an awkward spot. I know people who know him who say he's an amazing doctor. Obama loved him. Bush loved him. And apparently Trump loves him a lot, which is why he put him up for the job. But there's a very different set of skills that you have, I think, to do a physical on a president and take over $100 billion agency that nobody's been able to fix to date. It's interesting because I read a piece by a veterans organization. It's this disabledvets.org, and it's actually kind of interesting because they wrote, why not him? The last three guys had experience and they weren't able to do anything because the system is so broken. It's the hardest department to manage. It's probably the most political to manage. Lindsey Graham, however, believes the pick is a winner. If there ever was a home run pick, Admiral Jackson fills the bill. However, a lot of these veterans organizations are saying this is nuts. This is crazy to have a guy lead a $200 billion agency. One former VA official's reaction was, OMG, oh my God, the placement has no experience. The VA is the hardest department to manage, again, because it is so political. But again, some others are pushing back, saying he'll have great people around him. And guess what? The last three guys, you had Eric Shinseki. He was a four-star general who managed troops, and he was out of combat, and he ran the VA and presided over the disability compensation backlog scandal. Remember this? And the Shredder scandals. So he was there for that. You got Rob McDonald, was the CEO of Procter & Gamble, which is one of the biggest corporations in the country. He was a vet and a West Point educated general. He was unable to get rid of the criminal leadership and the corruption. And David Shinseki, medical doctor, business owner, hospital executive, non-veteran, made poor business decision, misused taxpayer funds. So they have a history of problems here at the VA and privatizing. Brief discussion with somebody today. The problem with privatizing is if you need a private doctor because you can't get what you get in the VA, they're worried that when you go to a doctor, A, today you don't get to see a doctor for any length of time. You don't get any kind of 10, 15-minute visit. You get moments. They don't know how to deal. Not these doctors, especially rural doctors, are not necessarily educated because they don't have the experience with Agent Orange, with the depression that comes with serving the military, the post-traumatic stress. So you got to find qualified doctors who can handle the specific situations that servicemen need. But what do you do now with the backlog? I mean, I'm not hearing what the backlog is today, but I don't think that things have been corrected. I know that as recently as 2-3 years ago, William Shatner, you know, from Star Trek, etc., Captain Kirk, went to the VA hospital, and he called me and he said, "You're not going to believe it. These guys are sitting here and they've got nothing to do, and their linens are dirty and they don't get changed that often." And he went out and bought them cards that they can use to video games, things to keep them occupied. And he says it's horrendous, the situation that they're in. They're not being treated right. They're not being taken care of. And the wait times are astronomical. So three experienced guys were unable to do that in the past. I don't know that that means, so let's bring in an unexperienced guy to tackle this. But it is a behemoth. It is a behemoth. It is a big problem. Our veterans deserve better. I think there's going to be a huge problem with him getting through the process of trying to get from the nomination to be confirmed. I just think there's going to be too much pushback. And I actually feel bad for him because I hear he's a great doctor and a great guy. Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tolan at 10 continues after this.
Looking for some crosstalk, baby.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tolan at 10, wrapping up to make way for Dr. Drew and Lauren Savon, who are sitting here right now.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, we're going to talk to Orange County Supervisor Todd Spitzer. That's going to be very cool. See all the controversy down there in Orange County. We're also going to talk to a legal analyst regarding that horrible situation in Sacramento with that kid that was shot.
Ugh.
And
Ann Coulter.
Your friend Ann Coulter.
Your friend Ann Coulter.
My friend Ann Coulter. I think she's more your friend. Ann Coulter? But I got a ton of questions for old Ann. I got a ton. I
mean,
and by the way, she just loved
them.
I just say
that's
she
right.
Just
she young just canceled.
little young Ann, skinny young Ann. She has said something about interrupting my immigration being the solution to the illicit drug problem, and I'm like, I'm not so sure.
I'd love to see you go at it.
And it does not take care of the pharmaceutical.
Two go in, one comes out. It's coming up.
I can't tell you how many times Dr. Drew saved my life just by working next to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Zero. That's how many times.
No,
is this like the French Sinatra?
Like,
is this like the Shecky Green joke where he said that the two guys were beating him up at the fountain at Caesar's Palace in Sinatra?
Who's Shecky?
Shecky Green. Okay. Old-time comedian said, "These guys are beating me up at the fountain at Caesar's Palace, and Sinatra saved my life." He said, "That's enough." Is this the kind of saving that he does?
What did I do? Tell me what I did. I'm curious.
Told me about a deadly combination of prescription pills that I know everybody has in their medicine cabinet.
Oh, yeah. Opiates plus benzos.
No one tells you not to take those together.
And so did you clear your cabinet out?
Well, I've been telling everybody I know, and everybody else is just as shocked as I was.
Have you been popping these daily?
I don't take them, but I know you got to listen carefully. Did you clear out the cabinet? Well, I've been telling everybody.
No, I don't have any.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been telling everybody.
Allegedly. Let's use the word allegedly here, just because.
How did I save your life then? Okay, we'll get it.
We got one. I'm just
saying.
Mine,
listening
I don't
is paying
and by
off
way,
for
you know
me.
Amazing?
That's all.
You just saved my life, so thank you. I think there's a Humanitas Award and some kind of radio. What is it? The Marconi. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'll go rent a tux, and I'll see you tomorrow.